search for the win. And if you can't find the win, talk to somebody, lean on somebody who can help you find it. And if collectively you can't find it, then just give yourself grace. Don't let that define you. Give yourself grace, forgive yourself. And then the next day, progress can resume again. But that's the power of choice that we've talked about so many times on the show before, is that every day is a choice. You have the choice to find the win. You have the choice to give yourself grace. And the next day, you have the choice to continue your journey forward again.
Hey everybody, this is Cody Strait, and welcome to this episode of the Upward Spiral Podcast. And in this episode, I ask Davin about his surgical recovery process from a spinal fusion, and specifically ask him to get into what he's being challenged about, how he is growing, specifically in the area of patients. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy the show, guys. All right. Davin, what's up, buddy? Welcome to the Updraft.
Thanks for having me back. I was getting a little concerned.
Honestly, you've been taking too much time off, what with your spinal fusion and everything, that I thought about going separate ways, but you know what? You're here today. That's all that matters.
That is all that matters.
Indeed it is. So, all right. So considering this is the Updraft, we're going to go and hit this pretty quick. So I'm not going to give you any choice in the matter. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to present you a subject and I want you to talk about it. So you ready to rock and roll?
My favorite subject, talking about me. Let's go.
All right, cool, man. So here's what I want is I want you to tell the audience a little bit about, you know, what you've been dealing with post your surgery, remind them the surgery that you had. And what I want you really to talk about, this is really the topic, is patience and resolve. And again, this kind of gets into the attitude that you have towards what you're dealing with. But no doubt you're in the suck. And let me just start off, kind of prime the audience a little bit and prime you for talking about this subject matter of patience and resolve, especially post-surgery, in that I was talking with you the other day on the phone and you were scooting over to your mailbox. And I wish we would have had the video up, because you dropped a piece of mail, it fell on the ground, and you said, like, I can't get it. Like, the ground is so far down now, I can't even reach it. So basically you were like being Pele and just kicking the piece of mail down the street until the degree where it stuck to the ground, it wouldn't move. And so you're out there just looking like an absolute mess and your life is just complete garbage at that moment, right? So talk to me about that and then get into this whole post-surgery patience and resolve thing, please.
Okay. So it was tomorrow or Tuesday will be 2 weeks since I've had this surgery. And basically what they did is they went in and they did a 360 fusion. And the first thing they did is they opened up my abdomen and they moved everything out of the way to access the front of my spine, as it were. And they fused L4, L5, L5S1, as well as fixed a couple of fractures that were in there as well, you know, basically to get space within the vertebrae on the front side. And then they sew me up, flip me over, split my back open, do the same thing for the back, thus completing the 360 degree fusion. Get to the hospital 5:30 in the morning. Surgery was about 7:30. And, you know, being first a day was certainly beneficial, because this was they knew it was going to be anywhere from a six to an eight hour procedure. So certainly extensive. Kind of compounded, Cody, by the fact that due to COVID, there's no visitors allowed.
Right. Right.
So you're kind of going into this thing alone. And I was fortunate enough, they let Kristen come back, my wife come back for, the pre-op stuff. Mm-hmm. And then actually kind of on the tail end, the nurses let her stay a little bit longer. I'll get to that here in a second.
Yeah, because like you're supposed to be in the hospital for several days, which of course right. You weren't.
Yeah, it was supposed to go in Tuesday, get out Saturday. So, you know, they wheel me back, you know, you kind of go off into la la land, wake up in recovery. And at this point I'm alone in recovery, you know, nobody's allowed it and nobody's allowed back there yet. And, you know, go through the process of kind of, you know, getting your wits back about you and, you know, realizing that you're in a considerable amount of pain and they take care of the pain for you and then take you up to the room. And, you know, my wife is there and, you know, you kind of start to come to and you look down and you got this massive abdominal bandage that's super padded and, you know, kind of hurts to even really think about moving at that point. And, right. You know, I didn't even have a full appreciation for what it was yet until, you know, about two hours into my room, in comes physical therapy. I'm like, all right, Davin, it's time to get up. Thinking, what the hell you mean this time to get up? You know,
right.
So they're like, you know, it's, you need to get up and get moving. So they go through this process and they teach you how to log roll, because, you know, there's no, I can't put any torque, any twisting whatsoever on this newly reconstructed back that I have, because, you know, the hardware that they put in there is solely designed to hold everything in place long enough for the bone to fuse. And then it just stays in there because it's too extensive of a process to remove the hardware after that.
Right.
But, you know, they just drilled into my bone. You know, I've literally have what's basically a cage on the front and the back of my spine at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I log roll. I'm like, all right, cool. I got this. And then I go to push up and I realize at that moment that my abdomen was indeed split in two. I was essentially gutted. And the exorbitant amount of pain that was associated with sitting up in that moment was like, okay, we're in it now, homeboy. Like, now what are you going to do? Like,
and that's when reality hits. Reality hits full on at that moment.
Here you go. And again, quick shout out. Any of our moms that are listening to this podcast, especially if you've had a C-section, y'all are true superheroes, because having to function in any capacity whatsoever after, again, you've been gutted was way more difficult than I gave credence to. So huge shout out to you guys. I don't know how you guys are as tough and resilient as you are, but it's certainly appreciated.
Yeah. No, there's no question about that. Like, women are tougher than men. Let's just be clear about that. It's just the truth.
Right. And so, you know, they sit me up and they get me and they're like, okay, let's see if you can take a couple of steps. And I have to use a walker at this point. You know, like every even millimeter of a shuffle with my legs is pretty painful at this point. But, you know, I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, Cody, on the last podcast we did, you know, the power of choice, the power of decision, right. You know, and in that moment, my resolve begins to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I realize the monumental task that I have in front of me. And it's just time to get your mind right, as we say, and just start the recovery process. And so for me, the first mountain I had to climb was sitting up. And then the next mountain I had to climb was standing up. And then the next peak that I had to climb was shuffling down the hallway in that walker. And as the night wore on, you know, they come in and they do the breathing treatments and they kind of start to go through this, you know, the post-operative process to kind of assess where you are and how long that you have to stay in the hospital. And, you know, I was able to, by about midnight, they come in and they're like, okay, you know, you're recovering at a rate that we generally don't see. And so we might send you home tomorrow.
In other words, like they're saying, we don't like you much as a patient. You're conveniently recovering faster. So we're going to get you out of here quicker. Just
right. And so again, there's another peak that I have in front of me.
Right.
Like, okay, here we go. It's time to do what I have to do to get out of this hospital, because, you know, pride kicks in a little bit too. And, you know, of course pride comes before the fall if you're not careful, but wait a minute, you guys have never had a patient get out of here in 24 hours.
So that's something to achieve then.
Well, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like it's time to do this. And I woke up Wednesday in an incredible amount of pain, you know, because the stuff that they put inside of your body, you know, along with the fentanyl that they give you post-op begins to wear off. I declined a pain pump. So there's no Dilaudid, there's no major narcotics pumping through my system. You know, I'm able to fortunately manage the pain through, you know, medium grade opioids, oxycodone, acetaminophen, tramadol, muscle relaxers, things like that. So Doc comes in, he's like, look, dude, you need to go home. You're not going to recover here. You recovered too quickly. Let's go ahead and get you out of here. So I go home that night. Wednesday night was the most intense pain I've ever felt in my life. And maybe they let me out a day too early. I don't know. That's not up for me to decide. But, you know, there's a lot of things that your body goes through post-op, especially when they start messing with your intestines and your bowels and things just don't move, right? So that was a pretty painful night. Thursday was pretty painful. But again, every one of those moments is a chance to test your resolve and to test. And, you know, I decided Friday morning that it was time for me to start getting in my steps, because, you know, you get this sheet they send you home with. We want you to be up to 1 to 2 miles 4 weeks post-op. I'm like, well, I'll be damned about that. And so Friday, I think I logged a mile's worth of steps. Saturday, I logged 1.5 miles. Sunday, I was up to 2 miles. I was progressing, getting better every single day and using the power of choice, using my resolve, while also listening to my body to be able to get better. You know, Cody, I think it was, gosh, what was it, Wednesday, I got up to like 3.2 miles worth of steps. And then Thursday came around and it was like I was hit by a bus, man.
Right. So talk a little bit about that, because what you're getting at so far is, and we talked about the power of choice leading up to this. So prior to the surgery, you're getting your mind right. You're saying, okay, here's how I'm going to act. I know I'm going to have setbacks. I know things are going to be challenging, but you're making those decisions in advance about how you're going to respond to that. So you have your day of surgery, then all of a sudden you have all these, you know, things that you have to then focus on, work on, you have to achieve, and you're doing that and you're making progress. All right. And that's great. you make progress until you don't. And that's when things get really, really hard because you're always wanting to move forward. So this is what I really want you to get at, because you're in the suck and you have been in the suck. But what happens when something comes around, knocks you down, and takes you off your flow?
What is it, Mike Tyson that said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face?
Right.
And that's exactly what Thursday was for me. It was a, that was kind of the peak of inflammation. Mm-hmm. Right. Like my body's just like, okay, you know, I'm starting to get this nerve pain that I hadn't had in a while. You know, your body is doing different things, and, you know, pain is in areas where it wasn't. And then I was tired. I was brain foggy. Like it was just kind of a culmination point, I think, of maybe me pushing a little bit too hard. And so I spent Thursday by and large laying in bed, and that's not who I am as a person. That's something that I generally really struggle with. And, you know, for me, idle hands, idle time, I begin to start to pick things apart in my brain, mainly in a negative way, right? You're like, wait a minute, I was supposed to progress today. Today was right. Supposed to be a day of progress. I was supposed to advance the ball just that much farther forward towards this recovery process. So I'm failing. Today is a failure. And if I'm failing here, then where else am I failing? And you start to just, you go through this caustic swirl of emotion as you're laying there,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it was about, gosh, Cody, probably midday, I had a bit of a breakthrough in my mind, and it was with progress. And, you know, we talk a ton about finding your win and the connection for success to the suck and success to the struggle. And I was able to finally kind of make this mental connection in my mind of, you know, where's the win within this? I finally just started to force myself, Davin, where's the win? Where's the win? Where's the good? Where's the positive in this setback? And it was right there the whole time, Cody. And that's the crazy part about it is the win was the setback.
Mm. Okay. Now this is enlightening. So shine some light on that.
The win in the setback came from the fact that my body was telling me something and I had the courage to listen to it. You know, I could have gotten up Thursday morning and I could have powered through and I could have put in 3.5 miles.
Right.
But to what end?
Right.
What would Friday have been like?
Right.
So that's where the setback was the win, is that I was able to listen to my body and I was able to take that rest that I desperately needed in this process in order for Friday to become another win. Because if I hadn't listened Thursday, I could have ended up in the hospital on Friday. I could have ended up, you know, back in the doctor's office, and there's a true setback.
Right.
You know, I what I experienced was a delay. What I experienced was the ability to galvanize my mind that much further. What I experienced was the ability to search within my mind in those dark moments and find a win in the face of what seemed a little bit hopeless in the acuteness of that moment. But dude, there was so much growth and there was so much positivity and there was such just a huge win staring me in my face. I just had to have the balls and the courage to ask what it was and to find it and pull it out and celebrate it.
So that's phenomenal. So let me kind of backtrack this just a little bit, because there's a few things here. So number one, you were progressing and that gave you confidence, even though it hurts, it's a struggle, it gives you something to attribute your mind towards, and you're able to progress and literally progress, right? Mm-hmm. But then you have the moment where you're not progressing, you're regressing. And
at least ostensibly regressing, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But that, if you have a mindset of, I have to have constantly these, these incremental improvements, and then all of a sudden you don't, physically you've plateaued or perhaps you've regressed as it were, that made you go to a place of negativity. Mm-hmm. And this sucks, and then this other thing sucks. And it's very easy to continue with that line of thought, especially as you're just laying in bed and you're helpless, as it were. So what's the one thing that really made you change your state? Like you said, you started looking for the win, but to help people understand your mentality, whenever you're in this, because you're human, you're not any different than anybody else, but you're in this downward spiral of negativity, How do you pull the ripcord on that and bail out? What's the biggest thing that you can say to the audience as far as that goes?
You know, when you're in that, I call it head trash. You know, sometimes you just get in that state where, try as you may, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, there always ends up being a negative spin inside your mind, and it can start to swirl. And the longer you stay in it, the deeper you get, the harder it is to extract yourself from it. And one of the things that I would say and encourage our listeners to do is in those types of moments, man, lean on somebody. Find your somebody, find your person, and that loves you enough and that you trust enough for them to challenge your current mind state and to help ask you those questions and provide you that perspective that helps pull you out of that head trash, to help pull you out of that swirl. And that's what I did. Is, you know, a dear friend of mine, I reached out to her and we had a conversation. She was basically like, look, this is your win. Like, how do you not see this? And you know, not pointed out so bluntly, but able to pull it out of you, to pull it out of me in a way that I understood, in a way that I could grasp, and in a way that I could grasp a hold of that, Cody, and run with it on my own and make it my own thought and make it my own perspective. But you know, those are those moments, and we've talked about mentors before, and we've talked about friendships on the show, and we've talked about influences. You know, if you find yourself in that moment, sometimes it's hard to find the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
But somebody who's outside of it, somebody who's looking in, can be like, look, take my hand, my hand. Let's go. Let's take this walk. I'll show you where the light is. And then they kind of nudge you off and let you go in that direction. That's what a good friend does. Rather than pull you towards the light, they show you it and they allow you to get there on your own 2 feet.
Absolutely. And so this is, I think, something that's really important, is that you didn't necessarily, under your own strength and volition and mental fortitude, pull yourself out of the suck. You were in the suck, you're in that negative headspace. And this is the thing, if you wanna find negative things, you'll find them. If you wanna find positive things, you'll find them, okay? But you reached out to somebody and they were able to bring it to your attention and change your perspective, and that's what you needed. So then it's a matter of, where is your win? And this gets into, if you want to find the negative things, there's plenty there and you'll find them. But if you want to find the positive things, that takes a little bit more work, but they are there as well. And then it is a choice. And you found the positive. Where is your win? The win was the setback itself. And, you know, again, we talked about this kind of thing before, that if you wanted to push yourself, you could have done that. And this gets into, we talk about physicality and strength and, you know, just keep moving forward, keep dealing with the pain and keep pushing forward. And that's the kind of thing that I think you and I would have done in our younger days, right? Mm-hmm. But you paused, you had patience, you listened to your body, and you said the win was the setback. And you focused on that and oriented your mind around, it's not that it's a matter of, I can't continue to progress. It's that my body's telling me something, I need to focus on that so I don't dive off the edge of a cliff.
Right. And doing that allows you to not miss the forest through the trees. And this is an incredibly important aspect of that, is people are watching, man. Your friends, your mentees, your loved ones, they're watching this, and they have the ability to view it objectively, where when you're so deeply inside of it that you can't see it for what it was. And, you know, good friend of mine, he's a doctor, he's an orthopedic surgeon. He's like, dude, you're healing like a freak of nature. Like, you're healing in a way that you just don't really see with inside of the medical community. And, you know, you're able to get up and you're able to do these things and you're progressing forward. And, you know, but without the ability to gain that perspective from others that are watching, I never would have known it, because for me, it feels so acute. I'm so trapped inside of it that, you know, sometimes it's hard to put one foot in front of the other. And, you know, when you're inside of it, and this doesn't have to be just a physical ailment, but inside the professional world, is, you know, others will provide you the feedback if you just ask. Others will help you understand how well, or you know, how well you're proceeding, or how much you're struggling, you know. So that's part of it. But also, man, you know, the ones that you love, whether it's your kids or friends or whatever, like I said before, they're watching you. And what example do you want to set? What do you want to show the world? What do you want to show the world that you're made of?
Right. Well, and to that point, Davin, have as you're going through this, and we've talked about these kind of things before as well, but whenever you're in the suck, whenever you're faced with challenge, right, do you look at this consciously as, this is a test? This is a test. I don't necessarily know what I'm being tested on, but it is a test. And how am I going to react? How am I going to respond? Because we both know that whenever you go through challenging times, in that moment, you're forging character, right? And in this situation, it's not a matter of, I need to forge my character and push against the pain and keep going. This is forging your character in and around patience, which is not something that I would say is a strong suit of yours, historically speaking. So talk a little bit about that as far as what you're learning about yourself and the challenge that you're facing. The challenge is not, can I keep going? The challenge is, can I stop?
Right. Yeah. And that's an interesting point, Cody, because, you know, for me, we've talked about violence of action, and I live my life through varying degrees of violence of action, you know, right. And we joke about it, but it's really the way that my brain is wired and my body's wired. And, you know, having to temper that and having to slow down and realize that I'm going to get well through the things that I don't do more than through the things that I do. And that for me is something, it's like dividing by zero for me. It doesn't even compute. I can't even get a number. Like, my brain just throws up an error signal. Like, what do you mean you shouldn't do this?
Right.
And having to find that patience, let alone exercise it, because it's hard enough for me to even find it, but to exercise it and to show restraint in a physical capacity and watch my body heal as a result of it has so many implications into other elements of my life, into being a father, into being a professional, into being a husband. You know, to exercise, to find and exercise patience and find wins and growth in the things that you don't do,
right,
rather than through a series of executable steps, is huge for me.
Right. Because yeah, what's easier for you to do in this situation? Is it easier for you to pick up a 100-pound kettlebell and walk 50 yards? Or is it easier for you, or is it more difficult for you not to do that and restrain? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, it's so much more difficult for me not to do it. And especially, you know, when I see people working out, you know, again, we got a pretty tight knit group here, and, you know, we've all worked out at the house here together, and watching those guys out there, you know, being able to continue to lift and exercise. And, you know, the other day I was like, I had myself convinced in my mind, Cody, that I could get on the assault bike and I could ride it. And I still believe right now I could get out there and I could ride a 5K.
Right.
But to what end?
Right.
To what gain, right? Like there's so much more for me to lose through failing to exercise patience than there is from me getting some level of gravitas or some level of catharsis from an immediate action. And then what the hell is going to happen afterwards? Does my back fail to fuse? And then I go through an even far more extensive and intensive surgery than I did before.
Right. Right. And who does that help? Does that help you? Does that help your loved ones? Because again, loved ones, they're the ones that are taking care of you during this time period. So is that doing them any bit of favors, right? And so, Devin, this was the main thing that I wanted to get at, because again, as you approach your surgery, we talked about choice, we talked about mentality, we've talked about another podcast before, you know, the resolve and character to whenever you're dealing with pain and struggle, to keep going and keep fighting against that and pushing against that. And there's a lot of value in that. But then there's patience. And then there's whenever you're in the suck, it's taking a moment, being in that negative space, finding a way to get out of the negative space. You mm-hmm. said that you were able to do that, not just through your own volition, but you have a community around you, and you happen to be talking with somebody and they changed your perspective. They intervened into your timeline. They intervened, they changed your perspective, and they challenged you, where's your win? And as a result of that, you said the win was in fact your setback, in that you stopped pushing and you then were challenged to exercise patience. And because of that, you're growing, you're not only are you healing, but you're growing individually as well and developing character in that regard. So that's awesome, man. As far as the biggest takeaway here, relative to where you are and where you have been, what do you want to share with the audience as we close out this particular episode of The Updraft?
Love it. So progress in life and in business is not always linear. It's not always going to be continuously trending upwards. And if you get trapped in that mentality and in that mindset, it's going to become that much more difficult to find the wins and the setback. Because sometimes the setback is the win, and you have to be able to view it that way. Sometimes you have to wade through that head trash within the darkest moments to find those points of growth. And it's usually going to be there, but sometimes it's not, man. Let's just level set here. Sometimes it's not, and sometimes you just have to give yourself some damn grace.
Right.
Life is hard enough,
but also we fail
without burying yourself underneath all this stuff.
So if you are working hard, accept it, and go forward. Devin, I'm glad you're better. Glad that you're back as well. And can't wait to hear more stories about you sneezing and feeling like your stomach's erupting, and hear more about pieces of mail that get dropped in the ground that perpetually stay on the ground.
Yeah, that piece of mail, if I drop anything below my about mid thigh, I may as well drop it to the bottom of the ocean, because I physically can't get it. So screw that piece of mail, man.
Absolutely, man. So, all right, Davin, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.